This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. And now we go to Ukraine, where the rerun of the presidential election ended in a complete reversal of the first attempt. Today, opposition candidate Viktor Yushchenko declared victory. His Russian-allied opponent, Prime Minister Viktor Yanukovych, is vowing to take the results to court. If you have questions about the election outcome or a personal stake in what went on in Ukraine, give us a phone call. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. And vote counting is nearly complete in Ukraine. It appears as if, as we mentioned, opposition candidate Yushchenko will win with a commanding lead. But as we also suggested, the fight may not be over. Joining us now with an update on the election is Peter Finn, foreign reporter with The Washington Post. He's with us by phone from Kiev. Good to have you on Talk of the Nation again.
Glad to be with you.
What do the vote results look like at this time?
Well, with 99.84% of the vote counted, Viktor Yushchenko, the opposition candidate, has a solid lead of 52% to 44% over Prime Minister Viktor Yanukovych.
My math leaves a lot to be desired, but there's a gap between those two numbers. They don't add up to 100.
Well, Ukrainians have the right to vote for neither of the above, which a number of people here decided to do.
What was turnout like yesterday?
Around 75%, which is quite high. But this drama is not over because this evening Prime Minister Yanukovych refused to accept defeat and said he would go to the country's Supreme Court to have Sunday's result overturned and have yet more elections.
The Supreme Court was at long last the body that did overturn the results of the first presidential election, and now you're saying Yanukovych wants to take this result back. Is there any evidence of fraud that he's been able to bring to light?
He claims that new electoral laws, which restricted voting by the handicapped and absentee ballot voting, disenfranchised 4.8 million, a figure which he didn't explain how he came to, and that most of those voters were his supporters, and that that is larger than the margin of victory that Yushchenko currently enjoys. He also claims that there were major violations by the Yushchenko campaign. However, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe said that the election was largely free and fair, despite some shortcomings, and they congratulated Ukrainians on the process.
The OSCE was the same organization that monitored the first round of these presidential elections and reported massive instances of fraud conducted by the government, of which Mr. Yanukovych is still the prime minister.
Yes, so he is on leave, and there has been something of a break between Mr. Yanukovych and President Kuchma, the incumbent president. And over the last couple of weeks, Mr. Yanukovych has tried to present himself as an outsider, alleging that Kuchma and Yushchenko were essentially cut from the same cloth. It didn't appear to work.
After the first runoff between these two gentlemen, among others, it was the president of Russia, Vladimir Putin, who rushed to congratulate, as it turned out, the candidate whose victory was overthrown by the Supreme Court. Are outside forces speaking one way or another about the election results in Ukraine thus far?
Most leaders have held back from making a judgment at this point, although Polish President Alexander Kwasniewski has congratulated Mr. Yushchenko and invited him to Poland, according to the Polish president's office. But President Putin so far has said nothing.
After the first round, it was Yushchenko supporters wearing that now familiar orange color who went into the streets in the capital, Kiev. What's going on there now?
Those crowds have begun to dissipate. The crowd last night that heard Yushchenko speak around 2:30 in the morning was considerably smaller than the crowds that we saw during the protests. Most of his supporters at this point believe that they have won, that Yushchenko presidency is inevitable, and that despite this legal appeal, it will happen sooner rather than later. It can't happen officially until Mr. Yanukovych's complaints are heard by the courts.
Peter Finn, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Peter Finn, a reporter with The Washington Post, joined us by phone from Kiev in Ukraine. Joining us now with more analysis of the Ukrainian elections is Anders Ustlund, the director of Russian and Eurasian Program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. He's with us by phone from Orlando, Florida. Good to have you back on the program.
Thank you.
Viktor Yushchenko may soon be declared certified as the winner of this election. Will he be seen as a legitimate leader?
Well, absolutely. All the legitimate elections results that we have seen and all the legitimate polls have suggested that he has had something of 8 to 11% lead, and now we get an election result that is in that range.
So this is a sweeping victory by Mr. Yushchenko. Obviously, his opponent, Mr. Yanukovych, has said that he will not accept these results. Does he get much of a chance, do you think, in the Ukrainian Supreme Court, remembering that maybe the day after the first rerun of the election, not many would have given Mr. Yushchenko's forces a lot of a chance?
Well, it appears now that the Supreme Court has decided to act as if it is a court. While we just saw just before the last elections that the Constitutional Court made a very strange judgment. And Ukraine finally has two Supreme Courts, the Supreme Court and the Constitutional Court. And this can be quite a confusion between these two now seemingly competing courts.
Mm-hmm. Let's get some listeners involved in the conversation and talk first with Stephen, who's with us from Oakland, California.
Hi there. When you look at the split they had, at least with the results from the first election, there are about 25 states, and a lot of the votes were 90 to 10 on both sides. A lot of them were 80-20. I mean, we talk about the red-blue split here, but most of our states were fairly close, 60-40 would be a landslide in one state. And there the divergence was much more. I'm wondering, would it make any sense, is there such a division that it would be worth splitting the state into two? And I'm wondering if you could wrap that answer into sort of a larger question about the divisions. Are the Russian speakers in the East, are they immigrants from Russia? Do they have more of a Russian identity? Or is the ethnicity different? Or is it just sort of happenstance that part of the country speaks Russian more than the other? And in particular, when they had the debates on TV, did they do it in Russian language or Ukrainian or both?
Mm-hmm. Anders Ustlund?
Yeah, the last, when they debate on television, by and large, it is in Ukrainian, while in particular Yanukovych made his first statement in Russian in the last debate. Ukrainian is the dominant TV language. If you look upon where people belong, it's very confused because it's not one clear line in terms of language and ethnicity. Officially, 17% of the population are ethnically Russian, which doesn't mean anything clearly. It's only that they have been registered like that in the Soviet Union, while 57% speak Russian in their daily life. And thus only 42% Ukrainian. But that is not very clear either, because a large part of the population speak one language at work and another at home, and a large part of the population actually speak a mixture of Ukrainian and Russian. So the positive thing is that there's no clear line. In terms of election results, though, we see now exactly the same, 17 regions for Yushchenko and 10 regions for Yanukovych. Several of the regions that voted for Yushchenko are solidly Russian-speaking. Kiev, for example, Sumy, in the center of Ukraine. And it's very much that the very Donetsk and Lugansk regions are not very democratic. So people don't get much of a hearing of the other side. And those two regions, might have some Russian separatism, but I think it's more a danger for the future, frankly, than currently, because people in the East have not participated in the Orange Revolution, that is the big democratic revolution, so they feel outside the whole thing, and clearly Prime Minister Yanukovych is now becoming the opposition leader, and his legitimacy is ethnic, regional, also the heavy industry in the East, particularly the steelworks.
Stephen, thanks for the call.
You bet.
We're talking about the presidential results in Ukraine. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Valentin on the line. He's calling from San Mateo, California.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I am Ukrainian and Ukrainian citizen. I voted for Mr. Yanukovych, and my family, I'm originally from Kharkov, it's eastern Ukraine, too. It's the second largest city in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And I strongly disagree that Mr. Yushchenko is labeled as a reformist and democratic candidate. My point is that Mr. Yushchenko became a head of the Ukrainian National Bank in 1993, and the ratio for dollar to Ukrainian coupon, which was Ukrainian currency at this time, was 1 to 2,000. Within 9 months, this ratio changed to 1 to 35,000. And when Mr. Yushchenko finished his, in quotes, reforms, the ratio was 1 to 220,000. Mr. Yushchenko reforms basically swept away the whole population of older people in Ukraine. I would compare Mr. Yushchenko to this horrible event of tsunami in South Asia, rather than their reforms.
Well, Anders Östlund, up until this election, in fact, Valentin's right. Viktor Yushchenko was not seen as a reformer.
Oh, it's not quite true. I'm very partial to this, I must admit. I was working as an economic advisor to the Ukrainian government from August 94 until 97. So I worked extensively with Mr. Yushchenko. And the situation in the government was that there was a limited number of reformers. And Mr. Yushchenko was certainly the most important of those. And remember, he was neither president nor prime minister until the end of 99, but only chairman of the central bank. And the one thing that succeeded essentially in 96 was macroeconomic stabilization, that is, defeating the inflation. When Mr. Yushchenko came in 93, inflation peaked at 10,000% in a year, and recently has been down in the single digits. So it's true what Valentin says, that these bad things happened when Mr. Yushchenko was at the central bank, but he was the one who changed it. Secondly, Mr. Yushchenko was prime minister for 16 months, essentially in 2000. And that's when we saw massive reforms taking place, essentially cleaning out a lot of privileges for the riches so that they could no longer live only on the largesse of a state, but had to start producing. And from in 2000, Ukraine finally got economic growth after a decade of steady decline of 6%. And for the last 5 years, Ukraine has had an average growth of 9% a year. I think that Mr. Yushchenko introduced those changes. Of course, Mr. Yanukovych claimed that he is behind the latest achievements.
I would like, I want to disagree with you on...
And we have 30 seconds left, Valentin.
Okay, I disagree with you on reformers, because these reforms basically killed most of the elder peoples in Ukraine. And... including my mom. If I wasn't in the United States, I wouldn't be able to help her. And Mr. Yushchenko allies are Ukrainian nationalists which have close ties to Division Galichina, SS Division, back in 1943.
I'm afraid we're just running out of time, Valentin, so we thank you for your phone call and appreciate it. Anders Östlund, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Anders Östlund is director of the Russian and Eurasian Program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, and he joined us by phone from Orlando, Florida. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.